How many here tonight have ever had somebody that seemed you couldn't count on them for anything? They tell you, hey, I want to do this, or set up a time with you. You get things all prepared for whatever you plan on doing, and they call and cancel. Nobody? Two, three, four of you? All right. Isn't it frustrating? Frustrating, isn't it? How many of you do it? I want to talk tonight, my topic is, do you have credibility? Do you have credibility? You see, credibility is often the forgotten and depleted account. We don't realize how important credibility is until we come to the point where we need to make a withdrawal. Right? You see, credibility is something that every one of us have in varying degrees. And every one of us need more credibility. Right? Any man or woman of God who has credibility also has the power and ability. You see, people who don't have credibility find there is a day when they need it. But because they have no reserves, they have none. So I want to talk about credibility. Who needs credibility? Anybody? We all need it. We all need credibility. Most people don't understand the value of credibility until they don't have any. I remember as a young man many years ago, I wanted to get a gas station, and I was so close to getting it. But I went to the bank for a loan. And they seen that I had been working for a few years, but I had no money saved. I had no assets. Nothing to suggest that I was moving ahead in life. And after filing in the application, the man at the bank said, sorry, we can't loan you any money. Why? Because although you've been working for a few years now, you have no money saved. You have nothing of any value, and we can't see anything that suggests your life is moving in the right direction financially. That was a blow. But it taught me something. It taught me an important lesson about credibility. You see, you don't realize the value of it until you don't have any. Right? I look back at that, and I'm like, see God's hand on it, because if I had got that gas station, I probably would never be pastoring. David was a man who had power. He had power because he had credibility. Think about men in the Bible that had power. Some because they had power over some of them because it was money. Some had power because of their birth. Other had power because of an inheritance. But you see, others because of this issue. They had credibility with people. People like David. People like Samuel, Job. People like Daniel and Paul. You can go on and on. The dictionary says about credibility, it says it's able to be believed. You're able to be trusted. You're able to have confidence in. People have confidence because when you say you'll do something, you do it. Anybody here ever, can you tell my story that I've told you many times about my pastor? Anybody? Anybody want to tell it for me? I told my pastor I would do something and last minute called and backed out of it. He said if I was there, I would punch you right in the face. Thank God I was on the phone. But I learned something right then and there. That if this man tells you he's going to do something, it's going to be done. You know, and there's every now and then you need to cancel something. But some people just so, hey, let's do this. Last minute, I don't feel like doing it. I can't make it. You have no credibility. That person probably set a whole day aside to do something with you. And you cancel. See, that tells me you don't care about that person. That they set a day aside to do something with you or whatever it may be, and you don't do it. So gaining credibility is like depositing money in the bank. In other words, you aren't going to gain credibility without making some deposits. Right? There is no mystery about credibility. You have to earn it and accumulate it. Credibility comes as a result of making right decisions. Credibility comes as a result of doing what you say you will do. Credibility comes as a result of wise choices. Credibility comes as a result of sound judgment. Credibility comes as a result of sensible behavior. You see, we see all these things in the life of David. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5 says, "And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants." Here's how David made deposits into his credibility account, folks. The scripture says he went out wherever Saul sent him. He obeyed the commands of his leadership. He made credibility deposits the scripture says he behaved himself wisely. He was wise in his behavior. And the scripture says it set him, Saul set him over the men of war. You see, David accepted the responsibility that was given to him. In other words, he didn't just say, "Oh, I'll take that position because I want a position," and then didn't do anything about it. He was given a position and he did what he was supposed to do. He set him over men of war. He accepted that responsibility. And also he was accepted, the Bible says, in the sight of the people. In other words, he built a history of a good report. People don't just accept you if they can't count on you. So he had a history of good reports. Here's the interesting thing. What worked for David then in the Bible time will work for you today. But too many people say, "Well, I've got this reputation. I'll never be able to make it right." That's not true. You can make things right. Amen? If you have made deposits, then you can take and withdraw things. Right? I've been in banks and people come in and want money and they're like, "Sir, there's zero balance. In fact, you're negative." I've seen it numerous times. I'm like, I can't believe people. I'm not saying it out loud, but in my mind I'm like, are you kidding me? You can't take money out of a bank if you don't put anything in it. In the same way with credibility, you can't expect credibility if you've not put deposits in. You can only draw on credibility if you have established the habit of making credible deposits. The simple principle in if you don't put it into the account, you can't take out of the account. If you want people to believe you, if you want people to trust you, If you want people to admire you, if you want people to have confidence in you, what reason have you given them to? Think about Daniel. The Bible says he gave the king's servant a reason to believe in him. Think about Joseph. The Bible says in Genesis 39:4, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. Joseph made deposits. So there came a time when Joseph was able to make withdrawals. As in the case with money, sometimes we have credibility crises, credibility crunches. The Bible has a great deal to say about failure in the area of credibility. So we need to recognize that no matter how much credibility you have established, hear me tonight, it doesn't matter how much you have established, you can quickly lose it. Sometimes it can take a long time to get where you are, but you can lose it so quick. You ever heard the story of the boy called Wolf? Here, this story is a classic story dealing with credibility crisis. You see, it was at a crucial time when he desperately needed people to believe him. He desperately needed people to come to his assistance. And no one, this story says, would believe him. Why? Because he'd used up all his credibility credit. So if you fail in the credibility test often enough, you will end up having credibility issues, credibility crisis, credibility crunch. In other words, at the time when you desperately need people to believe you, at the time when you desperately need people to trust you and have confidence in you, they will not. Think about some of the areas that undermine our credibility. One of the first areas is when our words that we say don't match our actions. You tell somebody you'll do it, you'll do this or you do that, and you don't. So, let me give you a disclaimer. We can all fail, and all have failed at times at this. But do your words tonight, folks. Do your words match your actions? Do people look at you and say that he or she is a man or a woman of their word? Example, David numbering Israel. He knew he wasn't to number the Israel. He did it anyways. You could read about Absalom. You could look at Anam and all these significant failures in judgment and wisdom. But David had established this by this time a track record. And the Bible calls this aspect of credibility faithfulness. In Proverbs 25, verse 19, it says, putting confidence in an unreliable person in times of trouble is like chewing with a broken tooth or walking on a lame foot. Pretty bad person. Huh? You ever chew with a messed up tooth? Hurts, doesn't it? How about a lame foot? But they said, if you're putting confidence in an unreliable person, that's what it's like. Other areas that seem to undermine our credibility is when we don't tell the truth. And it amazes me. It amazes me. People that call themselves Christians that'll lie to your face. Come on. Honesty is essential to credibility. Honesty is essential to credibility. Liars end up having no credibility. You cannot be credible if you are on the boundary of truthfulness. You get the feeling with some people that they're trying not to be upfront with you. Some people just get into the habit of lying without even thinking. They lie or make excuses. I can't stand lying. I have lied as a, you know, I have told truth as a kid, even when I knew if I lie, I would get away with it. But I also knew that if I got caught later on, I'm going to really pay for it. But I hated lying even as a young kid. I just wouldn't do it. I would say, yeah, I did it, and get in trouble. One time, the thing I remember as a kid, I actually was a young man. I was probably about 17 or 18 or something, I don't know. And I wrecked my dad's car. He just got it. Just got it. I was speeding, ran into a ditch, bent all up underneath the fender. Ran home. My dad wasn't home, thank goodness. Got my brother. We towed it out, cleaned it off, took it to car wash, swashed all the mud off of it, pulled it out a little bit. Dad would have never noticed. For a long time, probably. I couldn't stand it. Next day I told him, I said, I wrecked your car. But I felt better. And you know what scares me to pieces sometimes? That people that lie, the Bible says liars will find themselves in the lake of fire. And what if you told a lie and the rapture took place? What if you told a lie and had an accident and never had another chance to repent? Well, I got the Holy Ghost. I don't care. The Bible says liars will find themselves in the lake of fire. That's a scary place. We experienced it this week, didn't we, Shel? Sister Roberts, people lying. So, folks, it undermines your credibility. So, is our demeanor in public? How is our demeanor in public? David conducted himself, the Bible says, in a way where people believed in him. Verse 5 in our text that we read earlier says, and he behaved wisely. Some of this has to do with our personal appearance also. Now, you ever see somebody that who maybe they may be good looking, but they dress terrible? You see, you think, what if you went to a car lot and the salesman come up to you in a suit that was all wrinkled, looked like he slept in it. He looked dirty. Looked like he just picked his suit up off the road. His hair, what, he had bed head. Would you go look for another salesman? Huh? See, my wife laughs and she likes to tell people that I even iron my work clothes. Because I think it's important to look nice. I think it makes a difference. Number one, I always want to look good for that woman. Always. Number two, I want to look good because I'm your pastor. I represent a great God. I represent a great church. I think we ought to always look our best. And we ought to always give God our best. So, how you look is important also. So, people who are relatively attractive but are groomed like homeless people, they may be perfect, they may be really smart. But you're just like, excuse me, and you go find somebody else. Come on, don't tell me you don't. Huh? You see, that car salesman come up and he says, "Can I help you?" And you're like knocked over with his breath. You sacrifice credibility if you don't take care of the basics. Amen? You really do. You need to care about how you look. You need to care that your spouse is pleased with how you look. You need to care that your family members are okay with how you look. The family of God, you ought to be okay. You need to care about how they think about you. But you know what? You ought to care about yourself. Really. Take some pride. You're talking about credibility. You know, and it always gives a leg up on things when you look nice. Always. You know, as a pastor, I've went to court with people. And it blows my mind how people walk in the courtroom and stand there in front of a judge with their pants hanging down. And the hat, he has to tell them to take their hat off. I'm like, you're an idiot. That's what I'm thinking in my mind. You're an idiot. You're wanting that judge to give you grace. You're wanting that judge to think well of you, but you can't even dress nice. I would never walk in a courtroom without a jacket. Maybe I'm old school, folks. I don't know. But we have to build credibility and put it in the bank. Anyone can begin to build a credibility bank account. I'm telling you today. If you don't have it, you can start your account today. And one of the obstacles to credibility is that because I've never really had it in the past, I can't have it now. That's how people think. But we need to recognize, folks, that the devil doesn't want you to be credible. He doesn't want you to be believable. He doesn't want you to be a trustworthy person. The enemy wants you to buy into the lie that because of the past, your future is sealed. And it's not true. You see, I wasn't a saver. But there came a time after some years of failing to save money and to have a great credit that I decided to break the habit. And I thought I couldn't afford to save. I had financial constraints and a number of factors that suggested that I wouldn't be successful. But my determination to have good credit was even stronger than my restrictions. I determined to save and sacrifice in other areas. Even though I was still faithful to the things of God and paying my tithes and giving in offerings. And because of this, I managed to have great credit. In fact, I went to buy a car years ago, and the salesman sat down with me after he came back and run my credit. And he says, "I want you to know something, that we look at you, people like you with that good credit, as gods." So I told him to get on his knees. No, I didn't. But he did say that to me, didn't he, honey? You see, I never had bad credit, but I just had that kind of credit where, you know, he's late on bills because I didn't make a lot of money. I always said I would always pay, but sometimes I was late. But I never stopped, and I was determined. God, you're going to be faithful to me because I give to the kingdom. And God helped me. And I got that good credit, and I've never lost it. I know I'm talking about credibility, but it kind of goes in the same realm. If you have good credit, it gives you good credibility also. And this taught me, folks, that the only patterns that are forever are those that I allow to be forever. Hear me? The only patterns that are forever are the ones that we allow to be forever. So let me tell you the point. Maybe credibility hasn't been your strong point, but I'm telling you, it can be. It can be. You can be what you aren't now. And you don't have to settle for the credibility gap. The credibility gap is something that is often used in reference to politicians. You see, their character doesn't match up to their words or their image. But understand this. If you don't understand anything else today, failure isn't permanent. You can establish credibility with people who don't trust you. You got to want to try. You got to want to be different. Small things can make a big difference. Work at being a student of good character. Find out what your good character is and go after it. Okay? What is good character? That's what I'm going to be. Be on time is one thing. Come on. Be on time. Be responsible. Be reliable. Don't do what you say you will do. If you tell somebody you will do it, unless something absolutely you cannot get out of comes up, you do what you tell them you'll do. But if you can't do it, if you cannot be available for that person when you said you would do something with them, then you let them know ASAP. In other words, you should care about that person because they probably set a day aside or whatever it was. Be diligent. Do it today. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. And be honest. Be faithful. And sometimes we have to make sacrifices, folks, in order to gain credibility. You have to deal with laziness. You have to be honest. Don't give excuses. Get real. Front up to what you really are and be committed to change. That's one of the big things right there, just admitting that you don't have any credibility. Just admitting that you're lazy. Whatever it may be, just admitting that you're a liar. God knows it and everybody else knows it. You might as well admit it yourself. Right? Right? Be someone that other people can put confidence in. Be somebody that other people can trust. Amen. Let's stand. Lord, we love you and we thank you, God. And I just ask right now, God, that you'll help us all leave here with a determination, Lord, to be what you want us to be more credible than we've ever been. And God, most of all, that we can be credible to you, that we'll do, we'll tell whatever we tell you we'll do. God bless each one, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Greet one another in Jesus' name.